What's up, guys? Welcome to another exciting edition of Real Estate Podcast, episode 337. I'm here with Griffin.
I'm here with Trav.
And I'm rocking my friend's pajamas in memory of Matthew Perry with Adam.
I didn't know where that was going. I was like, I'm trying to think, like, was there pajamas in the movie?
But they did talk about Friends.
They did.
Which is kind of weird.
Full circle. Yeah.
Well, I wish I could say I was lying on that, but I really am. I'm wearing a commemorative Friends-themed pajama pants. Are they probably chicks pajama pants? Maybe. I'm married. Get over it.
I mean,
they're comfortable.
Look, man, before we even get into the movie, like, never would have, I would have assumed, and they still might do it, but I would have assumed at some point there would be a Friends reunion, right?
There still can be, just not all of them.
Well, yeah, now they can use this to.
Right, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's wild, because, I mean, dude, like, I was never like a super huge like Friends fanatic, you know?
Yeah.
No, I don't think, I feel like, I mean, to kind of reference around the movie, like, I never watched Friends.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, back whenever there was the in-between time, right? When DVDs were like popping before Netflix was something. They had a good like 5 to 10 year area there where they were releasing TV shows in DVD format. Like everything that you could think of was getting a DVD release, box sets, you know, seasons. Mom bought all of the Friends seasons and like they didn't have cable or anything. So it was just 24/7 Friends.
So you heard that guitar riff a lot.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I've heard it a lot. So, but I mean, it's something that like with Friends, if it's on, okay, cool. I'm not going to voluntarily watch it, but like if it's on, I'm not upset about it, you know?
Well, it was Friends for Seinfeld for Housewives.
Yeah. But like Joey and Chandler's friendship, relationship that they had there was amazing. You know what I mean? Because Ross was like one of the chicks. Kinda, let's be fair. You know, like he was one of the guys. Yeah. But their relationship was just like, especially when they lived together, you know, before.
Well, dude, their apartment was like the house from Saving Silverman, like just two chairs, a TV, like
it's all they need.
Underwear in the corner. Like,
yeah. The dude roommates that you were just like, okay, watching Baywatch every day. It's like, come on, man.
I did like Matt Perry's, I call him Matt. I let him know.
Yeah.
Y'all call him Matt, but.
I call him Matt.
Yeah. When Matthew Perry broke off and started doing movies and stuff like The Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that little run.
Yeah.
He was funny.
He was legit funny, man. It sucks, but hey.
Well, that was one of those things, too, like Friends. I can't remember the episodes. I heard someone talking about it on something recently where they were like, you know, the episode where this happened had like 53 million people watching.
Yeah.
Which was a lot for them.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, watched it live.
Well, I mean, it kind of paved the way for stuff like How I Met Your Mother. And
yeah.
It did.
All that. Or at least revitalize it. I mean, sitcoms have been around for a hot minute, but you know what I mean. At least for our generation.
Have y'all read the theories? It's not really a theory. I think it's been proven, but like Seinfeld, Friends, and How I Met Your Mother all take place in New York, but they're all connected to one another by various locations.
That makes sense.
So like, so apparently they used a lot of the same sets, you know, of course.
So it's it's a universe about nothing.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So it all takes place in the same time period specific, of course, because, you know, Seinfeld's ending when Friends is picking steam up, you know what I'm saying? And then when Friends is starting to teeter off, How I Met Your Mother's starting to come in, you know? So like, but yeah, it's like a whole shared, cinematic sitcom verse, if you will. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I just remember seeing a video on YouTube a long time ago about, it's like, I guess it's one of the, I can't remember who it is. It's usually one of the more funnier guys, not Joey, because I know who that, whatever that actor's name is.
LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc.
Not him, but the other guy, the taller dude.
Ross?
Yeah. Okay.
The guy that was on, what was that Army
David
show?
David Schwimmer.
That's it. Schwimmer.
Well, it was,
anyone want to go for a Schwimmer?
Well, it was just a video. It was just videos of his line delivery, mm-hmm. but they removed the laugh track, so he's a complete psycho.
Yeah. The one where it's just got Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah. You just hear him laughing.
Yeah.
After every joke. That is funny.
So I just want to say something real quick. We're talking about Friends. If that doesn't tell you how bad this movie is right out of the gate.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'm just going to preface that. Like, look, this was not a great movie.
No.
And the fact that it's got a 6.0 on IMDb is legitimately insane to me.
It's got a what?
A 6.0 on IMDb.
Nah, we're going to have to go to the audience score on that.
Yeah, let's see what that popcorn bucket says.
It's got to be tipped over. 82%?
A lot of white women went and watched it.
I don't want to. I mean, 87 on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie had all the funny bits from the trailer.
Yeah, legitimately. And here's the thing. Like, this is where I stand with it. Us, and this might be a generational thing, right? But we grew up watching Scary Movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the Wayans brothers coming in. They're coming in strong. They're making fun of everybody. Legitimately everybody. They don't care. They're going in on everybody. Different time. Movie still holds up. I'm watching Scary Movie.
It has a lower score than this one.
Yeah. And some people are like, it's dumb humor. But this is dumb humor, too. Yeah. Like, let's be fair. Well,
it's also not raunchy.
No, not at all. Like, especially in the day and time now where it's like everybody openly talks about drug use. So that's not raunchy. That's not getting anywhere. You know, there's no sexual anything. It's not gory. It's not bloody. It's not scary. It's not. It just didn't really feel any of the criteria that it says that it is here on IMDb. Was it a comedy? No. Was it a horror movie? No. Was it a thriller? No. Like, it just didn't check any.
I was and thrilled when it went off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like, look, at the end of the day, it looked good. When you could tell what was going on, it looked good. I hate movies that are shot primarily at night with the lights out.
Yeah.
Like, it drives, like, that's why I like Midsommar. I can see everything in vivid color.
Yeah.
Because it's daytime, you know. All the time there. But anyway, like it's a movie. Were there some funny parts? Sure. But were there as many funny parts as there was in the trailer? Yes. Is that a good thing? No. Yeah. So it's.
Well, it's almost like. It's like they were trying to land on the tropes that typical movies like this fall on, but it just didn't. It's like, here's my thing. This, like the setup of the whole, the killer is someone they know.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Well, then you can tell something's off with him.
Yeah,
when he first gets there, I'm like, okay, I think he's in on this. Because they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? And it's like, oh, they never hung out with him.
Yeah, like, and I hate that I didn't recognize the normal foreshadowing of movies like this where the killer is usually introduced very early in the film.
Yeah. I mean, whenever they...
Android.
Yeah,
that was funny.
That was
it's like, we don't fuck with those.
Whenever they met him at the gas station, and he was like, I'm going to the thing. And it's like, what? And it's like, okay, this is weird. And then, why is he just in there hanging out?
I think because it was trying to do all these different genres at once. Part of me felt like while watching it, I was like, okay, so we're going to have this like amalgamation of references to other horror films.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did the People Under the Stair reference.
Yeah. I mean,
called it out. The guy was even dressed like it with the leather jacket. I was like, okay.
So, with that in mind though, with all that homage to horror, I kind of wish they would have just abandoned even trying to have it be a comedy.
Yeah.
And if they had steered it more serious and let, like, you know, like have more involvement with the game itself. I know that at the end of the day, when the big reveal, he's like, I'm the one that created the game and blah, 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 blah. But like have it to where it just, okay, so follow me here. The movie has them in the cabin, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about the cabin is that the woman there, like, they're celebrating Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a lot of, you know, we're getting that slow drip of culture, little nuggets of information getting dropped here and there. Well, just go full horror and have it like, because I mean, you already have a very racist ass looking game board.
Yeah.
And have, like, not necessarily make it be some sort of, like, typical carbon copy racism shit you see on fucking the internet and everything. But, like, psychologically have the killer start fucking with them. But in, like, a way more, like, just go full horror. Make it disturbing. Make it gruesome. Make it, you know, let it hit all those offensive things and push the envelope in ways and innovate that. Because this could have easily, like if Jordan Peele could have stepped in and threw some of his version of the mystery box out into it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would have been, you know, a better movie.
Well, and I think that's where this kind of falls into. It's like, okay, Peele's out here doing very interesting, very creative things with his flick, especially like Get Out. You know, it's not my favorite Peele movie, but like with the ideas and stuff that he was presenting in that movie and the way that he was presenting everything was genius. And it's like somebody watched Get Out and then they're like, oh, well, we can do this, but like a comedy version. And it's like, well, but how? And it's like, they could have really, like you said, leaned into a lot of these ideas of the American history, I guess you could say. You know what I'm saying? And use that as a jumping off point you know what I mean? Especially if it was written by the people that it was written by and they positioned it correctly, wrote it correctly, it could have been a fantastically interesting and unique take on the horror genre. That's what Peele would have done. It's like he was like, hey, Jordan Peele's making movies that are awesome and cool. Let's kind of do that, but like worse. That's what it felt like. So I don't know. It just didn't hit the nail on the head for me. Like I didn't really laugh. I didn't really chuckle.
Well,
I wasn't
the reality scared. Is that it. Yeah. The reality is that this movie's fucking boring. And I don't think it has anything to do with us not being a part of black culture or any other hot button issue or anything. Like, just on its merits as a film, it's fucking boring. It's a snooze fest.
Yeah, it was. And when you look it up, dude, it's like people also search scary movie, one through all of them. And it's like, this is nothing like those. No. I don't think you can get those made now. You'd have to go out of your way. Like some studio's not going to do that. Like that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Cause when they were bringing it up, they're probably like, you know, like Scary Movie or this or that. And they're like, yeah.
But don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, I was really hoping that, like, leaning into to the whole idea, even if they were going to ignore the more horror aspect of it and lean into it as a pure comedy, like, seeing that group of individuals interacting with, like, this caricature, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it? Song of the South? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. leaning into, like, what that was and making fun of that and how ridiculous and over the top the idea of that was and still is. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to be something around like that, but no, it wasn't. It was just, I don't know, it fell short in every department, man. Like, I just, when it was over, I was like, okay, well, there's an hour and a half of my day that I'm not going to get back.
Well, thankfully, you know, it was only that long.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, and like I said, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of good ideas buried. Just, like, buried under a mile of shit. Somebody can dig them out and make something good out of it, but it just wasn't the time this time, you know?
And what sucks is there were glimmers of, like, hope in the movie that you were like, okay, maybe we're going to get, like, some good, because even right out the bat with, like, not just the blatant people under the stairs reference, but, like, we got the classic Kubrick shot on the way to the place, like,
yeah.
You know, I was hoping that we would see more of, like, the tropes being played for laughs. Like, you know, obviously they're traveling, we get the Kubrick shot. All right, what's the first stop all the time? It's always at a creepy ass gas station. Yep. You know, like, I saw what was going on. I was like, okay, like, let's, I like, maybe I was, maybe for me, my comedy bar was set to Wayans Brothers level where, you know, someone's going to try to kill somebody or some shit happens. And it just goes full fucking tilt comedy.
Yeah.
And it didn't do that. And like you said, and I feel like we're probably going to talk in circles with it, but it's like, you know, it was neither funny nor even suspenseful.
No.
And I felt like the big reveal at the end was too on the nose and it was just, okay. Well, had to end some point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that's all. I mean, I don't really have much else to say about it. I mean, I didn't enjoy it. Definitely not going to watch it again. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like, there's some good ones out there and there's some not good ones. And there's some stuff that I can sit back and enjoy and stuff that's not particularly for me. And this was definitely not for me. Well,
and I also say it with the honesty that, you know, this could be one big joke that went over all three of our heads.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like that's not the case. But if so, then I'll stand correct on it. But it's, this would be in the same basket of $5 movies you'd see.
Just this movie made other. $6 million opening weekend. So,
yeah.
It was a bomb.
It made 17 altogether.
That's a nuke.
I mean, I don't think it was us.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at those scores, though.
I don't know about those.
Did it get reviewed? What's the opposite of review bombed?
I don't know.
Well, in this case, we watched it so you, the listener, don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Lionsgate. Half star.
Yeah. I'm giving it a half star. I mean, look, it was a movie. I mean, it was the dude that directed this movie. Directed, like, here's the top four.
He doesn't know he was in the movie. Oh, the guy that wrote it.
The guy that wrote it was the gay guy.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was one of the writers. Tracy Oliver, she was a writer, and she wrote First Wives Club, Harlem and Girls Trip. And then the director directed the 2005 Fantastic Four movie, Think Like a Man, Barbershop, and Taxi, and Tom and Jerry.
Considering that even some of those movies were better than this movie, I'm going to give it the coveted Real Estate No Star.
The coveted Real Estate No Star? Who's coveting that?
I mean, according to you guys, for the past several years, it's been Neon Demon. I think we've found the successor.
Yeah. Look, I will agree on that. Look, I will stand corrected. I would watch Neon Demon over this movie any day. But, what do you think, Dirt?
Nah, I'm kidding.
But no,
dude, I love comedies. But they're my jam. And this is built as a comedy.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a comedy.
I imagine Adam whipping out a monocle like a prospector with this. He goes, "Now I know comedy."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not funny, man. If what you said is exactly how it's billed, Adam, then yeah, it fell flat, man.
It's not funny.
I mean, we watched the trailer, and dude, we were laughing during the trailer, but like those were the best jokes in the movie. And it's like, oh, so you put all the best stuff that everybody's going to laugh at right there on Front Street.
Worked on us.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So, you know. But yeah, I think that this honestly replaces Neon Demon, right? At least it does for me.
If I had to pick one to watch,
yeah,
I'm watching Neon Demon.
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. I mean, I'm taking my half star back. I'm giving it no stars. I think Neon Demon only got one star, right?
I don't remember.
Let me look it up on the spreadsheet real quick.
Because that was it goes back that far. It might.
I think
it'll be there, but I don't know if the stars do.
Let's see, Neon. Nope, it doesn't have a...
Yeah, it was so early on.
To any listener that might have been around in those days, you know what we mean.
Yeah, I'm still thinking.
You're a real one. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But...
But you know what gets a star?
Huh. Loki.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah, I assume we're time slipping over to that, right?
Oh yeah, big time.
I've got they said mid-season trailer.
Yeah.
And I've got it in trailers. There's still only two episodes left. I don't know why they're calling this a mid-season. It's like middle. There's there's two episodes left. Like,
is there a gap?
Nah. I mean, that's just, there's going to be two more episodes. I don't know why call it that, but it does show what's going on in that trailer. Mm. Like there's, you know,
right.
When you see that, you know, we sit here and go over theories, but that's going to shed new light.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm down to reserve speculations for another time, but I will say that it was a great episode.
Great.
Well, I mean, with the amount of death that happens in this episode,
yeah.
Like, you know for a fact that, like, something's got to happen because, like, they put everybody in the box and killed all of them. Then Renslayer, gone. Victor Timely, gone. Like, there's so many people that's just gone. Like, you know what I mean? So, I'm interested to see what the trailer and the next episode has in store. But I got a theory, though, Trav. A theory.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to transcend this current season of Loki. I think that, like, if those people come back, right? If all the people that was in prison and Renslayer and all them come back, even Miss Minutes or whatever, regardless, I think that when everything is said and done, I think that Sylvie is going to be the new Renslayer. I think that like her interactions and everything that's happening right now with Victor Timely and everything that's to come in the MCU as a whole is going to kind of have her, because we've seen.
Well, it's kind of crazy if you think about that, because they're going to be the mirror opposite of He Who Remains and Renslayer.
Exactly.
Which would lead to Loki being able to stay out of the 2012 timeline and not die at the hands of Thanos and just run the TVA.
Right.
You remember whenever the Miss Minutes was like, I got something to tell you that you really ain't going to like. I thought she was going to tell her that she's a variant.
I was thinking that too.
Because there's got to be a female version, right?
Yeah.
And still could very well be.
I've been chewing. I know. We said we were gonna reserve shit, but damn it, it's just too much fun. But did you guys get the suspicion that maybe Owen Wilson is actually playing a villain?
No.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Okay. So when they're eating pie and they're talking about, you know, the possibility of him being a variant and everything, and he goes, hey, like, if I had a good life, I don't want to know. If it's bad, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
What if he's already visited? What if he already knows his story and he's just not telling it?
Well, I mean, I think that that's a possibility, but does that technically make him a villain though?
Well, not in the typical
mustache good twirling.
Yeah.
Well, anytime something like, bad happens, he's like, who's hungry?
It's like, yeah, he's really chill.
You want some ice cream? Everybody just died.
Yeah, and he... What's another thing that I was noticing as well? Like, yeah, like, there's urgency, but nothing's really...
Them, they've always had plenty of time.
But yeah.
That's their thing.
And even with the TVA being in, you know, meltdown, he's still very, like, it's almost like he doesn't care whether either he's apathetic to what happens or becomes of the TVA, or he's actually kind of on the same boat with Sylvie and wants the TVA to just rot from the inside out.
Well, here's how I take his characterization. I mean, that may be true, and I've thought about the idea of, like, what if he knows all of this? Okay, like, so we saw in this episode where Kang was like, wipe everybody's memory. You know, we're basically going to start fresh. But, like, what if not only does he know about his, where he comes from, his alternate life and all this stuff, but what if he knows how everything plays out? Like, what if he knows just as much as Kang knows? Like, somehow he was getting a piece of pie, he was sticking his head in the thing to get a piece of pie, the mind wipe thing didn't happen, he knows everything, and he's just like letting it all play out because of this idea of, like, if he knows what's happening, if he knows who everybody is, and he upsets the balance of everything, then what kind of catastrophic outcome is there going to be because of that?
Yeah. Or to go along with that, what if he, because this was something that I was thinking, is that, and I think I might have told Adam this already, but whenever we see that he's the one that pruned himself to stop the time slipping, that's the first time in the show, outside of that little torture scene, the little comedic thing in season one, that's really the first time in a show about time travel that we've started seeing loops start to kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if whenever the blast happens, you know, we're basically seeing all these causal loops play out. And what if Mobius is only aware of it going so far, and he's got to ride, he's got to play his part till he gets to that so he can do that. Like, I mean, he could either end up being a villain or one of the biggest heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I believe that if there's an like an alternate path, or you know, this whole shadow fucking you know, storyline that's happening with Mobius, like the way that he comes off to the viewers and the way that he's portraying himself and everything, it's like he's putting himself in a position to where, like, when everything goes back to normal, he's going to be okay regardless. So if he knows about the mind wipe, if he knows that everybody there is variants, if he knows all this stuff, then what they're doing right now in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter, because nobody's going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, and I don't know. Could I
entertain my last and probably the most crackpot of all the theories I've been thinking?
Well, I've got a couple. What you got? Mine are pretty crazy.
Scarlet Witch.
Mm.
So she is a product of Nexus events, fixed points in time where blah, blah, blah. Things have to line up and do that.
Yeah.
If she's hopping the multiverse, destroying parts of the Darkhold, wouldn't she come across a Kang variant eventually?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is a great point to bring her back into the story, and her being like, okay, I've been basically her doing what Janet Van Dyne should have did in Ant-Man. And instead of like, oh, we're here, let me tell you about how fucked up Kang is, she shows up and she's like, hey, we need to fix some shit. I've been burning out dark holes. I found this guy. We need to sew up some threads.
Yeah.
We're not gonna like how this ends. Some people are gonna be like, and more or less like, because she's the one that's powerful enough to probably do it, let her take the moral blow to the psyche and, you know, purge some of the timelines, like pruning or coalescing or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that would be a good way to, but I mean, does Feige and Disney think enough time has passed since Doctor Strange for them to reintroduce her?
Yeah. And plus, you know, we still haven't even seen the spinoff yet. And I think that's one of the few things that they're still giving the green light. I think it's done filming, actually, but I haven't read any news on it.
Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, I don't, like, Mobius is a bad guy. Like, I think that Mobius is going to be that. He is going to, if that is happening, he's going to be that character that people are going to argue whether he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Mobius is playing Thanos to a lesser degree.
Well, and see, one of the reasons why I even thought about Wanda in that episode, because it's like, man, a lot more shit was going on to, you know, trail off of that. But the reason why, though, is because Marvel has always remained consistent with their coloring of certain powers, the effects of certain things, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
When Victor Timely's in that suit and he gets out on the walkway and he strings the fuck out.
Yeah.
You can interpret that as Scarlet Witch killing you.
Yeah.
Or Quantum Realm shit.
Yeah.
It's probably Quantum Realm now that I think about it, but just seeing the string death type of thing or whatever, that's how Scarlet Witch more or less wrecks the Illuminati, except for, you know, the Black Bolt. Poor bastard, but
yeah.
But yeah, that was just some weirdage that crossed my mind, but I definitely wonder more about Mobius's part to play in it now for some reason.
Yeah. And I get that. And because it's like Mobius has kind of been backseated to Ouroboros to a degree.
Which, I mean, Ouroboros has been great.
Yeah. I'm talking about in the way where it's like, and see Loki season one, Morbius was the exposition of the entire season.
Yes.
Now Ouroboros is the exposition of the entire season.
Well, he gets to be the science-y guy, whereas yeah. like Owen Wilson's just like, hey, this is how the infrastructure works.
Yeah.
And Ouroboros is now like, all right, now you got to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah, right. And that was such a cool scene where they meet each other and he's like,
oh, yeah, they had to hand each other their time books to sign yeah, and shit. Yeah. Like, they're both fans. Which, that's so funny, the way they introduced it. They were like, well, you wrote it. No, you wrote it. Well, that whole thing, you know?
Yeah. That I love Owen Wilson's, his quick little things that he does in the moment. I always love how he
talks real quietly to you. He's like, listen. It's like, man, you know, you gotta think about this before you do. We gotta rationalize what you're doing, man. Well, like, you know,
my favorite thing is when he comes in there and he's like, just had some hot cocoa. You know, he's like, there's a machine that makes the hot cocoa, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's a machine. You press the button, the cup comes down, it fills it up with hot cocoa. Where is this? It's here. It's in the building. And he's like, you're not going to stop talking about it. Hey, you, take him to the hot cocoa. Like that quick little, you're not going to stop talking about it. Yeah. You, take him out of here. Oh, it's yeah. like, yeah. Yeah,
well, I want to go through a drive-thru and talk like Owen Wilson from Loki. So they're like, you know, just like, how can I help you? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm really thinking about the number two, but you know, the number five's such a staple. It's part of who I am, but yeah. I'm feeling adventurous today. And I just, you know, I'm going to pull the trigger. You only live once. I'm going for the number two. Can I have the number two, please? You know,
that currently out of stock on that. He's like, ah, oh, see,
I
fate got myself all worked up for the number two. Nah.
Fate dictates, man. I'm going back to home. Let's get the fives in. Five large. You talk about nothing like that.
So here's a question, a legitimate question real quick before we go on to movie news. Do you guys want to right now watch the Loki trailer? Because I know that when we watch the Loki trailer in trailers, we're going to have a whole nother round of speculation.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's going to happen. Yeah, so we could go ahead and watch the Loki trailer now. Finish the Loki speculation talk and then get into the movie. Cause like I was sitting here thinking about that. I'm like, well, we're fixing to have Loki round two up in here. If we watch that trailer and it shows more.
But like, I mean, this show has been the best thing that the Disney Plus platform has put out.
Oh, for sure. Dude, hands it's been one of the best down. Things Marvel has put out in a minute.
I'm glad this dude is doing the movie.
Yeah. Rider.
All right, guys. I
dropped it in general.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. Hmm. So he works at a like a boat place.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, he would definitely sell.
We're gonna see all the loops kick in.
Yeah,
yeah. So
two episodes too.
Like. Yeah. So I'm guessing the next episode is gonna be getting the band back together, right? Like, because it looks like the TVA has been just like completely abandoned.
Well, it's like Loki's it never existed.
Yeah. And they gotta like, that's crazy. How are they gonna do this in two episodes?
They gotta be a little...
Are they gonna be like 2 hours a piece? Which I'm okay with.
Wasn't it creepy? Wasn't it creepy when Miss Minutes, because I'm seeing the screenshot, when she was glitching out and she's like, she gets real weird. She just goes, "You will never be him." And then just like, you know, like fades out or whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought that what was going to end up happening was one of two things. Either because the TVA is the only, like, this is the only version of the TVA, right? Mm-hmm. In theory, it's supposed to be the only version of the TVA. So I thought when that thing went off, that it was going to cause the TVA to start duplicating it. Not really duplicating it, but like each timeline was going to have its own version of the TVA that was all going to exist in the same spot. And it was going to be everything and everyone was going to be constantly time slipping until they figured it out. Not just Loki. It was going to be everybody and parts of the building and shit like that. That's what I thought was going to happen. Because, like...
I kind of feel like it was going to build up to us finally seeing an entire universe get destroyed. And what that would look... Like, kind of give us, like, just one more layer to how serious the stakes are for this show's plot and moving into... Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the next episode, man. Like
Well, what this show's done is I think it's clever because a lot of people have criticized this phase of Marvel and the multiverse stuff because of a lot of inconsistencies and all of that. And they're definitely there, and I'm not saying this is a band-aid for it. But I like how the show has been this backbone that's like, hey, you want to know how this stuff's working? This is like, it's exposition, the show.
Yeah, but hidden. It's hidden exposition, the show.
Absolutely.
Exposition wrapped in entertainment.
Well, it's a lot. Yeah, and it's a lot of Jonathan Majors acting his ass off and Tom Hiddleston.
And Owen Wilson, and I mean, dude, everybody is just like next level.
Can I just say that, like, I want to walk into rooms and flick my hair back like Loki does every time something happens to him.
Yeah,
it's like he's just coming up from a headbang every time. Yeah. He's like, I'm dropped in here, bam, knock it back. I'm good.
This next
song's called Time Slip.
I'll be honest right here. Like, if they wanted to keep Loki going forever, like Owen Wilson, Tom Hiddleston, even Ouroboros now, you know, B-13 or whatever, the chick, you know, that core group of people, and just have different people come in season to season and they're fixing problems and keeping everything going, I would watch every season, every episode, if they could keep it up like they're keeping it up right now.
And for me, man, the show, and I agree with you, but what this show's done for me is show that, like, I don't care in what capacity, because I know low-hanging fruit is being the main character, but I want Tom Hiddleston in Doctor Who now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll never accept a Loki recast.
No.
They can recast anyone.
He Robert Downey Jr.'d the fuck out of that role, dude.
Yeah.
And did it so good that he stuck. You know, there's no way they had all this planned.
No. They made
him
just
so good.
And he's really the only villain, if you want to call it that, that has ever been really, truly recurring throughout the MCU. Like, he's always popped up here and there.
Yeah. It's amazing, dude. It's amazing.
Well, the cool thing is, before you pivot, the cool thing before the show ends, of course, obviously, like the multiverse stuff getting explained more, fixed, whatever. But like, just literally the way that they're giving Loki a character arc for him to change his ways and using this type of like time travel narrative for it.
Yeah.
Like that's so badass, dude. I've really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And it just shows you like what an amazing writer, given the ability to do what they kind of want to do with the character. I mean, you see Loki's arc play out for sure, you know, in Thor, in the various Thor movies and Avengers movies and all that. But I feel like they've done more with him in two seasons than they did in the first 10 years of Marvel existing.
So, well, he went from being one-dimensional to actually being a very captivating character.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but all right, we got a little bit of movie news here. We're going to start it off hot and heavy right out the gate with It Follows sequel was announced. It will be titled They Follow. So Neon has announced that It Follows, the 2014 cult classic horror movie, is finally getting a sequel, which has now been titled They Follow. Both writer-director David Robert Mitchell and star Mika Monroe will be returning to fulfill Monroe's previously expressed wish to work with the director again. In It Follows, Monroe plays Jay Hite, who's been going out with the seemingly nice guy who says his name is Hugh. After the two of them have sex, Hugh reveals a terrifying secret of his, shape-shifting entity that only he can see has been following him around and will kill him if it catches him. The only way to stop it, at least for a little while, is to have sex with someone and make them a new target. That means that the entity is now going after Jay, so it's not exactly a dream scenario. It Follows ended up grossing $15 million in the U.S. and received rave reviews upon release, Monroe herself winning an Empire Award for her work film. It Follows was also both Monroe's breakout role and the horror film that marked her as an upcoming Scream Queen to look out for. Other horror movie of Monroe's that were released afterwards were The Guest, Villains, Watcher, and the upcoming Long Legs. During a previous interview, Monroe had this to say about It Follows: "It's been a crazy ride. Being a part of It Follows, there's so many movies that have changed the horror genre, but I know that It Follows is such a massive influence in this change of the genre, which was so cool to be a part of, and so many people really connected with that film. For me, with these projects, all I can do is give the most honest performance, and I don't look at it necessarily as a horror film or thriller or this or that. It's just me really falling into character and bringing as much truth as I can so that people can really fall into the story." So they're going to start production for this in 2024. So that means it'll probably really be released in like 2025 Halloween. They might try to squeeze it out a little bit sooner, but it's going to be interesting because like I enjoyed It Follows. I mean, I bought the Steelbook, you know, Blu-ray, hashtag no big deal.
Hashtag movie flex.
Yeah. But I'm hoping that this can, like, I'm hoping the sequel can be a strong follow-up to the original. And also, like, I've never really looked at it this way, but, like, It Follows came out in 2014, and that's kind of when you really did start to see this shift in horror as a genre from, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like ground things down into like a more almost realistic interpretation, regardless of the circumstances, if that makes sense. Like we've seen a lot of people, like look at Midsommar and things like that. Midsommar is just the Wicker Man, but like grounded.
Mushrooms.
Right. Yeah. Like it's a ground. It's not a fantastical over the top. And you know what I mean? It's not, it's more grounded and it focuses more on like, you know, humanity and relationships and also reactions, like real human reactions to things. And yeah, like 2014 and around the time that It Follows come out was kind of when that started happening. And I know that it's happened before, of course, but like you saw a huge shift in the horror genre around that time. So it's, mm-hmm. it's interesting. I never really put two and two together there, but makes sense. You know, I'm just hoping it can hold up because I did very much enjoy the original It Follows. Yeah. So we'll see. We will see. So Jackie Chan is going to star as himself and save a baby panda in action comedy Panda Plan. So action movie icon Jackie Chan will star as a fictionalized version of himself in the upcoming action comedy Panda Plan, which finds this version of the Rush Hour star using his skills to save a rare baby panda. Details of the project come courtesy of THR, with the report revealing that Panda Plan will make its sales debut at the imminent American film market in Los Angeles. Directed by Zhang Luan, and produced by Mandarin Motion Pictures and Wish Art Media Company. Panda Plan finds Jackie Chan in the lead as he finds himself the only line of defense when a baby panda is kidnapped from China's Noah Zoo. You can check out more plot details below. Film centers on a rare baby panda with a dark circle around just one eye who becomes a worldwide sensation when he's born at China's Noah Zoo. But when a Middle Eastern tycoon dispatches international mercenaries to kidnap the zoo's baby pandas, Chan, playing a version of himself as an international action star, is forced to get involved in a rescue mission.
Somebody saw that Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, where's Jackie Chan? Yeah, get Jackie Chan in here. I'm kind of interested in checking it out. Like, yeah. I mean, but I hope that since it's a fictionalized version of him, I hope it's over the top Jackie Chan. You know what I mean? Like, I want him to be like, you know, just dressing like dressing up like crazy, smoking cigars,
singing his
like,
pop songs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to see
huge
like
music career.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It is right? crazy.
Like, I don't even want to know what his net worth is.
He's been called the voice of his generation.
I believe it. He was the action star of mine.
Yeah,
you know. So you know. All right, Warner Brothers is reportedly considering delaying Beetlejuice 2 and more 2024 movies. So, as SAG-AFTRA strike continues past the 100-day mark, studios now need to decide whether they plan to reschedule the release date for some of their 2024 films. Notably, Paramount recently announced that it planned to delay the next Mission Impossible movie from its planned release date of June the 28th, 2024, by almost a year to May the 23rd, 2025. With that in mind, it comes as no surprise that Warner Brothers might follow suit. A new report from Variety states that Warner Brothers is continuing to consider its options regarding delays on films including Beetlejuice 2 and Robert De Niro's Wise Guys. Though it's unclear what revised release dates these movies could get, Beetlejuice 2 could potentially get pushed back to Halloween 2025, considering the original film's spooky season popularity. B. Riley senior media analyst Eric Wold told the outlet, there will be a number of 2024 titles that move into 2025 and beyond because of production delays. Studios are holding back and not talking about it to avoid showing their weak hand during negotiations, but people are waiting for it. So we do have some SAG-AFTRA news that we're going to touch on here in just a second, but I mean, this is no surprise. I mean, the same thing happened whenever the writer strike was happening and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's to be expected at this point, right? But with it being Warner Brothers and with everything that they've currently got, like, Warner Brothers is kind of in the best position right now as far as, like, superhero movies are concerned because, like, they haven't really started up their new version of the DC cinematic universe. So, and that's like the big cash cow. I'm not saying that Warner Brothers' other franchises aren't cash cows, but like that's the big cash cow there. So, we'll see, you know, how this plays out and how much you know, things are extended by or delayed by. But I mean, it's just going to allow the writers to refine everything, and it's kind of causing a reset, you know, like movies are getting pushed out and delayed because of all these strikes that's been happening. TV and streaming has had the same thing happen to it and has been affected in various ways. And it's nice to, at least from my perspective, it's nice to have a little breathing room with all of the content that I still have left to enjoy that I haven't had a chance to as of yet. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what happens with it though. So Constantine 2, speaking of Warner Brothers, gets a promising update from the director, wants to make a quote, real rated R version. So director Francis Lawrence has offered a surprisingly promising update on Constantine 2, revealing that after jumping over several hurdles, they now have control of the character once again. Not only that, but while speaking with GameSpot, the filmmaker also reveals that he, producer Goldsman, Akiva Goldsman, and star Keanu Reeves have had meetings regarding the possible follow-up. See what Lawrence had to say below. So Constantine 2 got obviously held up by the writer's strike, and we had to jump through a bunch of hurdles to get control of the character again, because other people had control of the Vertigo stuff. We have control. Keanu and Akiva Goldsman and I have been in meetings and have been hashing out what we think the story is going to be. And there's more meetings of those that have to happen. The script has to be written, but really hoping that we get to do Constantine 2 and make a real rated R version of it. While there's still a lot of work to be done before Constantine 2 makes its way onto the big screen, it's certainly much more promising update than fans were perhaps expecting following the changes being made with the DC Cinematic Universe. Not only does Lawrence offer a positive update, he also doubles down on wanting to make a real R-rated version of Constantine, something that will no doubt delight fans to hear. Wasn't the original Constantine rated R?
Was it?
I think it was, right?
I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, 2005 rated R, 2 hours.
I was going to say, if it wasn't, man, they did a good job.
Yeah, right. So, look, man, I love that first Constantine movie. I know that that's not like, you know, the version of Constantine, but like, I still enjoyed it, and I really do want to follow up to it. So,
I mean, and it was a nice pivot for Keanu post Matrix, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, they want to make a real R-rated version of it. So, like, are they going to lean into like blood and gore and horror, and which I'm fine with. Like, hey, let's do it. You know.
Yeah.
But I thought that first one was pretty R-rated.
Wasn't no walk in the park.
I mean, he commits suicide at the end and has a conversation with the devil. Like, come on.
Like, that's first pretty conversation with the devil either, you know.
Yeah. I'm your daddy. Come here. So, yeah. Next up here, Jonathan Majors' assault trial set as Disney pulls Magazine Dreams from release schedule. So following news that Jonathan Majors' trial for domestic abuse charges has been set to begin November the 29th, Disney has removed Magazine Dreams from its release calendar. On October 25th, a New York judge denied a motion to dismiss the case against Majors, who was arrested on March 25th following an alleged dispute with then-girlfriend Gase Jabari. Majors was subsequently charged with assault and aggravated harassment. The Marvel actor has pleaded not guilty to all charges, and his attorneys have maintained that Jabari was the aggressor. On the same day that Majors' motion was denied, Jabari was arrested on misdemeanor charges of suspicion of assault and criminal mischief concerning the same incident. However, charges against her were dropped after the Manhattan District Attorney's Office carefully reviewed all the facts of the case and concluded that Ms. Jabari was the victim and not the perpetrator. Magazine Dreams was scheduled for release on December the 8th. The Searchlight acquired drama, which debuted at Sundance this January, stars Majors as an amateur bodybuilder who dreams of stardom in professional weightlifting competitions. The Elijah Bynum directed film garnered critical acclaim following its premiere. Disney has yet to comment on the situation, and it remains possible that they could add Magazine Dreams back to its release schedule at a later date. The House of Mouse has also elected to postpone its live-action Snow White remake starring Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot until March 21st, and Pixar's Elio, which will now debut on June 13th, 2025, instead of March the 1st, 2024. So yeah.
Well, I think that just like those other movies that have been pushed back, there's no lawsuits there. I think somebody's just connected some dots here. I mean, Loki's still airing right now, and
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, right here it says in a recent interview, Loki director Khosra Farhani discussed working with Majors before his legal woes. It was a surprise for sure, but I don't know anything about it other than to say that we had, honestly, such a great experience on the set. The cast was a wonderful ensemble. They all worked together super well. Tom would have an idea. Jonathan would have ideas. Owen is an idea machine. The experience on set was without any drama and just a joy. For me, especially as my first big directing opportunity, I count myself so fortunate to be working with such high caliber actors that made the directing that much easier for me. So, like, I don't know, man. I'm honestly surprised that Loki, like, I was under the impression, and I don't think that this is, like, wrong to say, but I was under the impression that, like, since everything was kind of quiet, and they were releasing Loki, that Disney was like, he's cool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's good. Everything's good, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's weird, you know? But November 29th, it's crazy the district attorney, you know, was just like, nah. This is a bunch of bullshit. Case. Yeah, I know, right? So, we'll see what happens with it, but I'm sure that around the end of the, which that's like the day after Thanksgiving. Mm. You know what I mean? So they're going to eat turkey and dressing, and then they're going to be in the courtroom the next day. Like, give me a break, dude. You know, give me a break. But yeah, we'll see how that plays out though. Last up here, SAG-AFTRA and AMPTP reportedly in final stretch of making a deal to end the actor strike. So the latest reports state that SAG-AFTRA and the AMPTP are reportedly in the final stretch of making a deal to end the ongoing actor strike following a busy weekend of negotiations between the union and the studios. In addition to discussing the role that AI plays in the entertainment industry, SAG-AFTRA and AMPTP are still reportedly trying to find common ground regarding providing additional compensation for streaming shows. The AMPTP has been notably silent regarding the 2 days of talks and what's expected next. In the statement attained by Deadline, the Fran Drescher-led SAG-AFTRA said, "Over the course of the weekend, we have discussed all open proposals, including AI, with the AMPTP. Both parties will be working independently Monday and re-engaging in scheduling at the end of the day. Join us and flood picket lines in the morning. Make your voices heard." Currently, SAG-AFTRA has a full week of pickets scheduled for Los Angeles and New York City at all major studios. Over the weekend, a guild source told the outlet, "There is a feeling of optimism," while a senior studio source added that it looks like we're in the final stretch. At the time, both sides seemed confident that a deal would be reached sooner rather than later, but noted that there are still issues that need to be worked out. Neither SAG-AFTRA nor AMPTP have responded to requests for comments regarding the talks. Negotiation teams on both sides include SAG-AFTRA Chief Negotiator, National Executive Director Duncan Crabtree Ireland, and AMPTP President Carol Lombardini, and studio CEOs Disney's Bob Iger, Netflix Ted Sarandos, David Zaslav from Warner Brothers Discovery, and NBC Universal's Donna Langley. Well, I mean, all over the AI. So we'll see. I mean, I mean, here's the thing, though, man. Like, the writers got a what I would consider a pretty decent deal with the with streaming services, right? You got, like, what, 90 days? You got 3 months from the time that it airs. And you'll get residuals based on viewership in that first 90 days. Anything after that, whatever happens to the series or the movie or whatever is on streaming services is all going to the streaming service itself and the studios, all that stuff. And then, yeah, like using that as the jump off point. Is that not good enough for the actors?
No.
I know they're barely making any money, but like, damn, you know? So, I don't know. We'll see. It's wild, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, brother. It's just wild. So, we'll see. Hopefully, they'll come to an agreement sooner rather than later on that. But yeah, that's all the news that I saw that looked interesting. So. No one told you life was going to be this way, guys.
I mean,
how about that?
So is it trailer time already?
Mm-hmm.
Trailer time. We went two different ways there, Trav, but it's okay.
All righty. We saw like a little teaser clip for this.
Isn't this David Fincher?
Matthias Bender.
Right? Yeah, Michael Cockbender.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready. Yeah, me too.
Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, dude.
It looks great.
He's dressed in that one scene where he's wearing the hat and the white jacket and stuff, and it's like, Dotson! We got Dotson!
Yeah, right. It looks good. We'll have to throw that on the pile, you know? Put her on the pile. Oh, God.
Young Gravy.
I mean, you know, it don't look bad.
I'm watching an ad.
Yeah, me too. Right.
I'm gonna restart this because for some reason it likes to play it.
Yeah, right. Like while the ads play
in the trailer, you know, fix it, Discord.
Yeah, fix it.
Got a little Jesse Eisenberg.
Is he being weird?
AKA Mark Zuckerberg. Oh, he's top G, dude.
How's he got red hair?
That comes with the no respect thing. No. Colt.
I just don't see Eisenberg like as that kind of guy. Nah, you know what I mean?
He ain't no Pinkman. Imagine that show with him playing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Mr. White.
Yeah. I mean, every time I see, like, he's not a bad actor. Don't get me wrong. But, like, he's been typecast so many times as that nerdy, stumbling over himself. How's he going to play like an MMA fighter, you know, and be believable for me? Like, he might be able to pull it off. Like, this might be the role that I, you know, that brings me around. But, like, we'll see. I mean, the dude that played Kick-Ass, I thought that he was going to be the same way, but he brought me around. So, we'll see. What do we have here? Finest Kind. Oh, this has got Robert De Niro in it, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure. No, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Slick. You hear the song?
Mm-hmm.
New sensation. Canadian Coast Guard. Damn. I knew something was off with you, Slick.
Mm-hmm.
Old Ben. Old Ben was real good in Alpha Dogs.
Don't look bad. Every time I see, dude, I just want to watch No Country.
Oh, yeah. Coming in with the ads tonight. We got a new season of Aqua Teen.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, this show just keeps coming back.
Is this regular Aqua Teen, or is this Aqua Teen, you know, how they kept changing the name of it for a while?
I'm not even sure what the name will be. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
All that they did was mess my fucking Plex up.
Right.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, season 12. But it's going to be on Adult Swim. I think there's only 6 episodes, so I'm like, they got to be longer, right? Because wasn't they short?
They were 15 minutes apiece. Yeah.
Let's check this out. Somebody's gained a little weight. Five. I bet they're going to be like 45, like almost an hour with commercials.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with that.
Is this one of those to catch a predator deals?
Yo, Fry Man.
Yeah. Hilarious. Damn, with the ads.
I know.
All right. Skills Jam. All right.
Truth, my ad. Yeah.
Back it up. The Last Boy on Earth.
Ooh. Okay.
It's either that or a Carpenter Brute music video. Yeah. Oh. The fuck? It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I like the way it's shot.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely be down to check that out.
Age restricted.
Yeah, what is this?
Oh, it's a Red Band trailer.
Mm.
Okay. This one gonna be, and this one is too, but it's not age restricted.
Wicked Little Letters.
Yeah.
Is that the one that we're doing?
Yeah. I had an ad. I got it stopped. I'll bring it up here.
To Edith.
What? It's a chick from Men.
Yeah.
I know she's probably in better roles, but that's the chick from Secret Invasion, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
It don't look bad.
No. All right.
Boy Swallows Universe.
More.
What the fuck was happening?
Threw a lot at you.
It looks good, but damn.
All right.
Skip that.
Is everybody back to the...
Yeah.
Leo.
All right. Leo.
Oh, look at this shot.
Weiland's. Look at that. That dude was running around in a circle.
It was the Matrix.
We got hyenas. Damn. Mm. He's a fucking badass. So he said, Leo.
Leo.
Rest in peace.
Leo.
I don't want to. Okay. The experience was good, but
Leo,
there's too many ads. We don't have a movie for next week, do we?
Yeah, I thought we was gonna do Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's right, November.
Yeah.
What are we starting with?
Fellowship.
What are
you? Oh, I'm Bruce.
I haven't seen those in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Same.
We're going to do the extended versions too, right?
For show.
I'm get that for show.
For show.
Hell yeah, dude.
10-5.
It's probably been 10 years since I've watched
it. Yeah, I lived in a different area code.
Yeah, so I mean,
been 10 years.
It's been a very long time.
For sure.
Maybe longer. But yeah, Loki, Fellowship. We're going to be doing a lot of fucking walking.
Yeah. I mean,
but yeah.
The checks on the mouth.